In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. In the first half of the Gospel of Mark, the writer is concerned with portraying Jesus as the one who is stronger. One way he does this is by telling of several miracles that are tied together by at least four crossings of the Sea of Galilee. On the western side of this body of water, there are the Jews. On the eastern shore, there are Gentiles. And Jesus moves freely and comfortably among Jews and Gentiles alike, teaching, preaching, and performing miracles. Among the miracles are the calming of the storm, the exorcising of the demoniac, the healing of the woman with a hemorrhage, and the miracle about which we read in today's gospel, the raising of the daughter of Jairus. By this means, Mark is saying Jesus Christ is stronger than the cultural differences that separate people one from another. He's stronger than the forces of nature. He's stronger than the demonic, stronger than disease, and even stronger than our greatest enemy, death. Nothing in the universe is more powerful than him. The one who is stronger is on our side. He is for us. He commands the very power of God. He has come into the world, come to all people, come to remove all obstacles, come to include everyone in his saving, recreating embrace. That is good news. And because of that, we have nothing to fear. Remember that our word religion is derived from the Latin word ligare, which means to bind together. Our word ligament is from the same root. Religion, then, is supposed to tie things together. As Mark has so artfully tied together the accounts of Jesus' obstacle-defying ministry in the Galilean territory, so Jesus promises to tie our lives together and make us whole. When we place our trust in him, we do not need to be overcome by fear. Human beings have a part of our brain that other creatures don't, that allows us to overcome the primal, instinctual fears. And we also have a faith that has been given to us to complement that. So what fears are grappling you today? Terrorism? Immigrants? The impact of a trade war on the global economy? Losing health care or Social Security benefits, Supreme Court decisions, personal finances or health, your employer, your neighbor, a family problem. I believe that fear is the basis for so many of our problems. It is the basis of anger, of prejudice, of a host of psychological disorders, of much disease, and it interferes with just about every relationship we have, either with persons or with things. We're afraid of that which we do not know or think we know all too well. And the Jesus of Mark's gospel is greater than the greatest threat we know, and his perfect love casts out fear. One of the most courageous people I've ever known is the pastor for whom I worked in my first appointment after completion of seminary in the United Methodist Church. J. Kenneth Shamblin was senior pastor of St. Luke's United Methodist Church in Houston for 16 years. He left there to become the United Methodist Bishop of Louisiana. I heard him do and say a lot of courageous things in the time I was with him. But before he came to Houston, He was the senior pastor of Pulaski Heights Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. He led that congregation in the building of a magnificent Gothic edifice. And when it was completed, he had television equipment installed and became the first church in Arkansas to telecast its morning worship services. On the first morning their service was to be seen on the television, Kenneth Shamblin mounted the pulpit and faced the task of not only delivering a sermon he knew would be carried to thousands of people he could not see, but also a sermon in which he publicly opposed the governor of Arkansas, Orville Faubus, on the issue of the desegregation of the Little Rock schools. Because of that sermon and the subsequent statements Dr. Shamblin made about the need for African-American children to receive the same educational opportunities as Anglo children, his life and the life of his family was threatened. He received obscene telephone calls and hate mail. He had to move his family to a secret location and live under guard 24 hours a day. This went on for weeks and weeks until he felt he was at his breaking point. One evening, he sat down on the steps of that beautiful church building, beaten, bruised, afraid, and contemplating ways he could leave that situation. He felt helpless, hopeless, and very, very much alone. And just then the carillon began to play, and the tune it played brought to mind the words, "God is my strong salvation, what foe have I to fear? In darkness and temptation, my light, my help is near." And he said it was as if God had extended a strong hand and a mighty arm to him in his weakest moment, and lifted him up, empowering him to stand firm in his conviction, and he and God weathered the storm. When the professional mourners came to Jairus and told him his daughter was dead, Jesus spoke a stronger word to him. "Do not fear, only believe." When he arrived at the house where the little girl lay, he entered that place which death had defiled and spoke a stronger word to her. "Little girl, rise up." His words were healing and life-giving words, strong words that save us and make us whole. He speaks them to us today. If fear is overtaking you and causing you to hate, to hesitate, to hibernate, or to hyperventilate, he calls you and me to believe, to trust in him, to consider the possibility that there are still other options yet to be explored, other viewpoints, other ways. So if you're feeling the threat of your own mortality, if death is washing over you, if something or someone precious to you has been snatched from you, he speaks to you, "Rise up. Rise up." My father, who taught me so much about life, also taught me about fear and about death. I was privileged to be at his bedside when he died. It was one of the most terrifyingly beautiful moments I've ever known, equal, I suppose, to the experience of being present at the birth of one of our children. Birth and death have much in common. Both are major transitions in which we do not know really for sure what lies ahead. And when my father was dying, the people in the room were quietly singing hymns. It seemed to comfort him, and his breathing calmed and then slowed and then ceased. And as he let go of my hand, it was as if he took another hand and it was as if he heard the sound of another choir in another place. His confidence in the promises of Jesus Christ made it possible for him to die like that. He showed me what "do not fear, only believe" actually looks like in the face of life's greatest enemy. Being there with him helps me to this day to deal with the issue of death and all my fears, frankly. It is at moments like this that we need to hear those words of Jesus: "Do not fear, only believe. Rise up." These are words that bind our lives together. They are the fabric of human community. They bind our times together. They bind our relationships together. And they bind all things together in a perfect oneness with the shepherd and lover of our souls. And you know what? These healing words are really good news in the face of so much bad news. Good news for anyone who needs to hear them. There simply are no limits to what God has in store for you and for me. And we will discover what God has in store if we set aside our fears and place our trust in God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.